Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
We are in the season of Lent, as we've said for the last couple of weeks here. And in this season of Lent, we have said that we are on a journey. We are on the way with Jesus, who is the way. We are on the way with Jesus to the cross. And as we're journeying with Jesus, we're looking at a number of scripture passages that come out of the last week of Jesus' life on earth before the crucifixion, what we call Holy Week. And in these passages, we are noticing what Jesus does, and we're listening to what Jesus teaches, and we're taking in what Jesus examples for us. In other words, what we're doing is we're observing the way of Jesus. And in Lent, which is a season of reflection and contemplation, we're reflecting on, okay, if this is the way of Jesus, then how is that way then manifested in me? How is the way of Jesus going to be my way as well? And we started a couple of weeks ago looking at the passage where Jesus cleanses the temple, and we talked about how Jesus is protecting that which is sacred, that which is important and valuable, and we were challenged to consider, what are those things that are valuable and sacred in our own life that are worth protecting? And then we saw Jesus the next week use the fig tree as a visual to talk about the empty practices that were happening at that time in the temple, and we as his followers were challenged to go and bear fruit. Last week, Kat led us through the passage where Jesus is asked a question by a religious leader, you know, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, love God and love others. And now this morning, we have another great passage that is before us. And what I'd love to do is to pray, and then let's read and study this passage. So would you please pray with me? Lord, we are so grateful for this time, and we are so grateful for this opportunity to study your word. Would you open our hearts and our minds that we might receive it this day? Would you guard and protect all that is said and all that is heard? Spirit, lead us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, listen with me to these words from the book that we love. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Amen. Well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it at all this morning. We've got a doozy of a passage in front of us today. And I recognize it might not seem like that from just a first glance, because this is one of those passages where we look at it like, well, this looks pretty straightforward. This probably is one of those passages, you don't need a lot of commentary on it, because we read it and we see it and we get it. We're good to go. But the reality is that this passage is incredibly complex. This is going to be one of those situations where, you know, what's the phrase? You peel back the layers, peel a layer of onions. Is that the right phrase, right? My words are a little jumbled today. I want to make sure I'm saying this right. You peel back, and it's this never-ending thing. You peel back, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And in fact, we're not going to have time to even get all the way to the bottom of it today, because this passage has a lot going on here. And I don't even want to tell you what draft of the message you are hearing today. Not the first, I promise you that. But here's what I'd love to do with you today. I would love just to hit this passage straight on. I would love to share with you the straightforward teaching that this passage offers, and then also dive into the complexity of it. I'd love to bring us to a spot where we pull out of here those words that can be encouraging for us, but then also pull out of here the words that are going to be challenging. And what I'd love to do is at the end of our time, I hope that we have all the things. I hope we feel inspired. I hope we feel challenged. I hope we feel comforted. And I hope we feel all the bit wiser as we explore this important and yet loaded teaching of Jesus. Does that sound okay? We hit it straight on? So let's name this one thing right off the top. In the season of Lent, we are looking and exploring the way of Jesus because we want his way to be our way. And we've seen Jesus in action at the temple. We've seen Jesus use the fig tree as a visual. We've heard Jesus respond to a question. And what we have here this morning in this passage is straight up teaching from Jesus. Jesus is teaching, and he's been teaching for quite a while. In fact, if you have one of those Bibles that has the red letters, or on the Bible app has the red letters, you maybe see there's a lot of red going on right now. And it's been going on since chapter 24 and all the way through chapter 25 here in this passage. Jesus is teaching, and this is what he says. This is his way. He says in this passage, he says, be nice. He says, be kind. We can add to that just a little bit. He says, be kind to others. We can even add to that just a little bit more. He says, be kind to those in need. And that is the way of Jesus. Pretty straightforward, yes? Now, if we walk out of here this morning, and we are inspired, and we are challenged to be kind because this is the way of Jesus, because Jesus teaches this. And because as we read the Gospels, we see that this is what Jesus does as well. He is nice. He is kind. He heals the hurting, and he helps those who are in need, and he aids the distressed, and he cares for the lonely. Jesus is kind. This is what Jesus does. And so if we walk out of here this morning and we understand that the way of Jesus is to be kind, and that is to be our way as well, to show kindness to others, to show kindness to the least of these, to show kindness to those in need, to show kindness to those who are vulnerable, to show kindness to those who are hurting, to show kindness for others and put others in front of ourselves, to show kindness to others so that we look out for one another and not number one, that we are called to show kindness to those and to set aside selfish ambition and set aside vain conceit. But in humility, we follow the way of Jesus and we put others first and we use our time and our talents and our resources and our gifts and our efforts and we offer that so that we can help those who are in need. If that's what we get from this passage today. Fantastic. That's wonderful. Because that is a great takeaway from this passage. Because it's clear, Jesus, his heart is not only for those who are in need, but that those who follow his way are his hands and his feet in this world, feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, and so much more. Baseline faith message, faith lesson from this passage, is that we show kindness to those in need. Good stuff, yes? Now, are you ready to peel back the first layer? Because this passage is not as simple as just showing kindness to those in need. So if you have your Bibles open yet, I trust, look at verses 35 and 36. Jesus talks about all these great things that those who are called righteous do, right? They feed the hungry, and they look after the sick, and they visit the imprisoned. And then it says that those who are deemed righteous, they answer like, when did we do this to you, Lord? And then Jesus responds in verse 40, and he uses this important phrase. So look at verse 40 with me. He says, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, I need us this morning to focus on that phrase, those words, these brothers and sisters of mine. And here's why. Because every time in Matthew's gospel when Jesus uses that phrase, these brothers and sisters of mine, he's not referring to random people out there. He's not referring to some generic group of individuals. But every time he uses that phrase, these brothers and sisters of mine, Jesus is referring to his disciples. Now think how that now influences how we read verse 40. Whatever you did for the least of one of my brothers and sisters, whatever you did for my disciples, whatever you did for my fellow followers, whatever you did for those who also call me Savior and Lord and friend. Well, whatever you did for those who, like you, are seeking to follow my way. In other words, whatever you did for your brothers and sisters in the faith. The way of kindness that is the heartbeat of this passage is not only directed at those who are in need, not only directed to those who are vulnerable. And I can't tell you how many times and how many years I have read the scripture passage and have thought, oh yeah, this is great. I need to help those in need. I need to help the oppressed. I need to help the vulnerable. And that's a great way to read this passage, absolutely. But it's not everything that's hidden here. Jesus, his words here in verse 40 implies that the way of kindness is to be manifested in us, amongst us. That we are to display this way of kindness to one another, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to fellow followers of the way. Now, I've observed something, and maybe you've observed this as well. Do you ever notice how people can sometimes be so kind and so gentle and so patient with someone they don't know, or maybe someone they're meeting for the very first time, or someone that they're an acquaintance with, and then the same people can be short and pithy and impatient with their own family or with their deepest friends? You ever noticed that before? It's almost like there's this comfort level. And I think the hidden gem here in verse 40 is encouraging us and calling us as followers of Jesus Christ to not only show kindness to those in need, and that is so, so important, but also that the way of kindness starts right here. That the way of kindness starts with one another. The way of kindness is to be demonstrated amongst those whom we serve on a board with or on a ministry team with. The way of kindness is to be expressed with those we teach with. The way of kindness is to be expressed with those we're on praise team with. The way of kindness begins with the person who is sitting in the row with you this morning. The way of kindness extends from here, yes. And the way of kindness begins here. Ready to peel back the second layer? All right, here we go. Because this passage is not as simple as just showing kindness to those in need and showing kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got another thing to look at here. Look at verse 34 with me. Jesus uses this words. He uses the words, take your inheritance. Jump down to the very last verse, verse 46. Jesus says, the righteous to eternal life. And then back up in verse 37, he calls those who have shown kindness the righteous. When Jesus uses those words, we have to be very careful. The way of kindness is not the way of salvation. And by that I mean being kind to those in need, being kind to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that does not earn salvation. Receiving eternal life, receiving this inheritance, is not based on works righteousness. That's that concept where if I just do a lot of good things and maybe I pile up the good things on this hand and hopefully that'll outweigh the bad things that I do. And so when the scales of justice come, hopefully my good things will be just a little bit heavier and things will be good for me. That's works righteousness. Let me be very clear this morning. Salvation does not come through good works. Salvation is found in the life and in the death and in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to this world, Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins and for mine, who put those sins to death and then defeated death by rising again from the dead. He has secured salvation for us. That work has already been done. Nothing we do, nothing we don't do can change what Christ has already accomplished for you and me. Nothing on this list of kindness changes that. Salvation for us is coming through accepting the person and work of Jesus Christ, believing in who he is, believing in what he has done for you and for me. To be saved is to have faith and accept this work of Jesus. That is what makes us righteous. So friends, hear my prayer this morning very clearly. Listen very closely, please. I want to speak to every single person who's here this morning, all of you who are online this morning, all of you who are watching it later this week. And I don't care who you are. I don't care if this is your first time here at Westview, if you've been here for years and years. I don't care if you're from near or far, young or old. I don't care what your life has been like up to this very moment. I need you to hear what my prayer is for you today. My prayer for every single one of us here this morning is that we would know the depths of God's great love for us. So much so that he would send his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pave the way of salvation for us. And my prayer is that each and every one of us would not just know this, but that we would believe this, that we would accept this, that it would be for us the one and only hope is in Jesus Christ, and that by accepting and believing and confessing this to be true, that we believe this, that we would have our one and only hope in Jesus Christ, who is the one and only way to salvation. That's my prayer for us this morning. That we would know and believe and put our hope and our trust in the way of salvation, Jesus Christ, the one in whom we are then righteous in God's sight. And so then come back to this way of kindness, because look at this passage with me. It talks about those who are righteous, who have done these things. And so what does this mean? The way of kindness does not earn salvation. These actions themselves, they are not a set of criteria. You got to check them off the list. But what these actions are, they are witnesses. They are tangible witness of a heart, of a life that has been transformed by God's love and mercy and grace. A heart that has received and welcomed Jesus Christ to take ownership, and a life that has humbly submitted themselves to the way of Jesus. So the way of kindness does not earn salvation, but the way of kindness is evidence of a life that has been saved, a heart that has been oriented to the way of Jesus Christ, leaving behind selfish ambition, leaving behind selfish gain, a heart that is like Jesus' heart, that lays down his life for us, so we too lay down our lives and serve and share and are kind to one another. Again, Jesus' way becomes our way. You ready to peel back the next layer? Got another one to go here. And I'm gonna warn you, this is where it gets a little funky. This is where it gets a little heavy. Now, it's going to get a little maybe uncomfortable here for a moment, but I promise you we'll end with comfort and encouragement, okay? Because this passage is not just about showing kindness to those in need and showing kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is a reflection and an evidence of a life transformed. This passage is a vision of the future. Let me share with you a real quick story. Several weeks ago, my 9-year-old son, who's right here with me this morning, also named Judah, so I was blessed by the conversation around Judah today, but Judah was telling me about some stuff that he had learned about in school, and he was telling me about how he learned about ology, like the study of, and he was using the example, like biology is the study of life. And he said, "Dad, do you know any other cool words that end in ology?" Well, I thought, well, here's a chance for me to show my son how smart I am and that he can be impressed with me. So I went down deep into the depths of my brain, and I thought way back many years ago to my seminary education, those late night study, and I wanted to come up with some cool, funny, long sounding words. And so I came up with words like ecclesiology. And then I said to him, that's the study of the church. And then I talked about pneumatology, which is the study of the Holy Spirit. And then I threw this one at him, soteriology, which is the study of salvation. He was not impressed. I share that story because there was another ology word that came instantly to my mind, but I was adamant I was not going to name it. And that's the word eschatology. Eschatos means the last things. It's the study of the last things, the study of the end times. And I was not in the mood that day to get in a conversation about the end times. But here we have to talk about it just a little bit. One of the often overlooked aspects of Jesus' ministry during Holy Week is that Jesus speaks about the end times. And I'm not here this morning to get into a great debate about this way or that way or this way or that way. What I want to just name this morning is what Scripture talks about. And what all of those different views, there's different views about how things are going to end, but all of them do speak to this because Scripture talks about this. We often want to conveniently kind of leave this part out, the end time talk out, you know, in the Holy Week, because we want to talk about triumphal entry and cleansing of the temple and Lord's Prayer. But here we need to talk about it. Because here in this passage, this is a vision of the future. Sometimes this passage is labeled the parable of the sheep and goats. It's not a parable. It's a vision of the future. Very first verse, when the Son of Man comes in glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Now, a bulk of the passage is all the stuff we've been talking about here for the last few moments, right, about the way of kindness. But all of that way of kindness talk is set up by this premise. And it's a premise that's a little concerning. A premise that maybe gives us a little pause. Because it involves separation and judgment. Look at verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another. Now, separation is not a new concept in Matthew's gospel. Matthew speaks about some of Jesus' teaching about separation, right? There's the parable of the wheat and the weeds. They grow up together in the same field and are divided out at the harvest, at the end. There's the parable of the net and the fish, and the nets go out and they collect all sorts of fish are collected in the net, and then it's only when they're back in the boat then they divide out the fish. And here, there is separation that happens as well and is a part of judgment. Those on the right who have shown kindness are called righteous. They will receive an inheritance, eternal life. Those on the left are told to leave. They're called cursed. There's eternal fire and punishment awaits. Now, I assure you, just as I was not excited to talk about the end times with my 9-year-old son, I'm not just jumping up and down this morning ready to talk about judgment, but Scripture is clear here, and we have to address this. There will be a separation, and there will be a judgment. And I know that that's not a real popular concept today, right? The reason I'm not just super excited to talk about judgment is because we don't like to talk about judgment. Oh, when's the last time you heard a sermon on judgment? When's the last time you preached on judgment? Been a while. Because the prevailing attitude today is that judgment is not an accepted concept. I mean, how many times have we heard this? The general narrative is, I'll follow my own rules, thank you. I live how I want to live. And who are you to judge me? No one can judge me. I've seen that on a shirt before. You? I'm going to do what I want to do. You and no one else can say anything against me because I'm my own person. I can live and be however I want to be. Sound familiar? The prevailing attitude makes even bringing up the subject of judgment a little discomforting. But here's the thing, you know, to that attitude, I just want to say, you know, unapologetically say, sorry. There is a king, and he sits on the throne, and you and I are in him, and he has authority to judge, and we do not. And though we might not talk about it often, friends, those of us who follow Jesus Christ, judgment should not be something that surprises us. In fact, all of us, earlier today, we affirmed our belief in judgment. Do you remember? It happened during the baptism. We all stood up and we recited together the Apostles' Creed, which is this beautiful summary of the Christian faith. Do you remember what we said? Let's put it back on the screen. See if you notice anything here. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. This is something that's real, something we can talk about. There will be a judgment. The Lord Jesus Christ will come. He will sit on his throne. He has the authority to judge. Separation will happen. But friends, I do not want us to fear. I do not want this to cause us worry. Remember everything we just talked about in the way of kindness. The way of kindness, of showing kindness to others in need, to showing kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ. More importantly, kindness that does not earn salvation, kindness that is not meaning we're going to be on the good side of judgment. But remember, the way of kindness, it comes from a life that has accepted Jesus Christ and has humbly submitted itself to following the way of Jesus. And what this passage makes so clear to us is this: when judgment comes, and it will, when Jesus comes in his glory and separation takes place, those who live in the way of kindness, because their life has been transformed by the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life and his death and his resurrection, for them there is no doubt, there's no wavering, there's no uncertainty, there's no ambiguity. It says, then the king will say to those on the right, come. It'll be a word of invitation, come. You who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And so, friends, let there not be fear. Let there not be fear in the face of judgment as we live transformed lives in the way of Jesus, in the way of kindness. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, you showed your kindness and your love to us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We are grateful this morning for the way of Jesus. We're grateful for the way of salvation found in him. We are grateful for the way of the truth and the life. We are grateful for the way of living and demonstrating hope and renewal and redemption and peace. God, we also want to name today, as we consider this way of kindness, we give thanks for this teaching of Jesus. We thank you for the encouragement that it is for us. We also thank you for the challenge that it is for us as we follow his way. And we consider it this morning that as we consider this way of kindness, we recognize that kindness, though it seems so, so simple, it isn't always our way. That before being kind, we've often tried to sit ourselves in the seat of judgment that isn't ours to occupy. That before being kind, we've spoken ill of one another. That before being kind, our thoughts have presumed the worst in others. Before being kind, our actions have sought to lift ourselves up at the expense of others. And so we confess, God, this morning that kindness has not always been our way or the way of the world. And we ask for your forgiveness. We ask that you would forgive us. Forgive us when selfish ambition and preservation of self has led us to put ourselves first rather than one another. And God, we pray that in your forgiveness, which you promised to us and we rest in today, in your forgiveness, would you fill us with the Spirit's enabling to allow the way of kindness demonstrated and taught by Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, to be our way. Lord, this morning we also want to pray prayers for those in need, for those whom this passage does speak about. We pray for the hungry and for the thirsty, for the stranger and for those needing clothing, for the sick and for the imprisoned. God, hear our hearts today. We pray that we indeed will be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, showing kindness to one and to all. There is so much need in this world, and it can be so overwhelming to consider. But God, we pray that as we seek Christ, as we live lives transformed by Christ, that we, God, we would, each of us would do our part. That whatever realm of influence you have put us in, that we can display and we can live the kindness of Christ. Lord, also hear our prayer today for those in our midst who are seeking healing and wholeness, recovery and restoration. We pray for war-torn lands and we ask for peace to come. Where there is division, we pray for unity. Where there is great anxiety, we pray for comfort and for calm. In all things and in all ways, God, we pray that your shalom, your wholeness, your goodness, your fullness of all good things would come and would reign. We ask this, God, in the name of your Son, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.